Welcome to Sassy Reads for You with Annette Botko, a.k.a. Dolly's Daughter. Sassy takes you surfing through books and her own perspective on reality. A production of Cosmic Reality Radio.
Hello and welcome to Sassy Reads for You. Mom has had to give up Durfee because it's just too hard for her to breathe while she's trying to read aloud. She felt bad about it, so I'm going to try and fill her flip-flops. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Dolly's daughter. My name is Annette, but I pretty much go by Net when Mom's talking about me, or Sassy, on this station. I am known to be a skeptic of all things lovingly called woo-woo bullshit by me. I do, however, respect your right to believe what you choose. I highly recommend doing your own research for anything you choose to believe and not just take any one person's word as gospel. You are responsible for what you believe. I am pretty blunt when I speak. I just don't do well taking the time trying to figure out how to put flowers around what I want to say to make everybody else feel better. I just say what I think. I've always done that, pretty much. One company I worked for sent me to tact and diplomacy training 3 times, so that should tell you something right there. So, know that I don't mean to offend you with anything that I may say. I'm just speaking my truth. It doesn't have to be your truth, but I'm not going to lie about what I believe and what I don't believe. That being said, I do try to keep an open mind, and I choose what I believe is reality, what I believe is possibility, and what I believe is woo-woo bullshit. You do your own research. Again, I'm telling you, you have to do your own research and be responsible for what you believe in, because you're not going to lay that at my feet, because I just want to make sure everybody knows that right up front. So when I told Nancy that I would do a show reading for her listeners in Mom's place, I told her that she had to pick the book. So she chose her book, Cosmic Reality. And I thought that was pretty funny because she knows how blunt I am. So this should be interesting. But with me recording it, at least she can't interrupt me and try to tell me what I'm trying to figure out in here. So I think what I'll probably do is read the book. We're going to do 1 hour chunks just like Mom because I have a job in the real world too. And as I come across things, which I know I'm going to, that I just don't understand, I'm going to try and say things like note and what is this crazy woman talking about, or make myself notes during the time I'm reading this so that we can go back and maybe Nancy will let me do a Q&A session with her periodically so that I can get answers to the stuff that I don't understand. And if when you are listening, you want to comment and have any questions that you may have, I'll try and read through the comments so that I can add those to my notes for a question and answer session if Nancy's up for it. And I also may make other comments along the way, but I hear Mom did that too. So let's try and get this done, and maybe we'll learn something. I did try to read this a little while ago, guys, and I didn't get very far because I have issues with all of the different realities out there. Your reality, my reality, the new reality, the old reality. It just blows my mind. So I think I only got to like page 4 when I started it previously. At least that's where I dog-eared the book. So this will be rather fun. So hopefully you're ready to go surfing. Get it? Sassy Reads for You? Yeah, that's the best I got, folks. So even if you aren't ready, it'll be in the archives, it'll be on YouTube, and you can listen whenever you are ready. So, here we go. All right, so this is Nancy's book called Cosmic Reality, and that's Nancy L. Hopkins. we are going to start with the first book in here. She's got two. One of them is The John Kennedy Jesus Christ Connection, and book two is Down the Rabbit Hole. So we're going to start with The John Kennedy Jesus Christ Connection. See if you like how I do it. See if I like how I do it. And we'll go from there. So let's see. Oh, Nancy even signed the book for me. It says, Annette, may your journey be without fear. The solutions are out there. Be safe, Nancy. Oh, this is from March 24th, 2016 that she signed it for me. The foreword is by Bill Brock Brader. Nancy and I met after I was incarcerated. She sent me her book, 9/11 Crusade. I was impressed and amazed at how she addressed what I considered wholly unique trains of thought about the events of 9/11. I had never before heard someone so closely approach the exact hows and whys of what really happened. It seemed amazing to me that one person would be brave enough to put out information so closely approaching the truth. It could definitely subject her to retribution by the government that controls corporate czars, which so cleverly orchestrated the best psyop in the history of mankind. I contacted her, in part, to ask her how she came about her theories that she constructed in the book. I was overly impressed by how much our lives seemed paralleled and her amazingly intuitive, truly psychic abilities. I knew from that moment on we shared something much greater than most people would accept or understand about the really important questions and answers of our existence here on this planet. I have found throughout the time that I have spent opposing the illusions that are constructed to blind us to the truth, there are rare individuals who have incarnated into this existence with a specific mission to accomplish those individuals Those individuals are the key to what is occurring in this time, in this reality. Here we go, folks. This reality. So let's see how many realities we have. The truth is far more complicated than most would understand and accept. Yet Nancy has taken the first steps into aiding an understanding of the most important concepts of reality. She calls them rules of cosmic reality, yet they are better known as universal laws. These laws cannot be broken because they are self-enforcing. The more that these laws are understood, the faster this reality will transform into something new and unbelievably beautiful. We are in a transformational period of time. It is a period where we seem to be emerging from a dream, or more closely, a nightmare, in which our very consciousness has been imprisoned. We are beginning to emerge into truth, into a perfect understanding of a world that is currently beyond the comprehension of what we hold as possible. I believe that Nancy's new book, Cosmic Reality, offers a great understanding of the first steps on the path towards this enlightenment. We are currently held back by our false understanding, which inherently constructs and maintains the illusion that imprisons our consciousness. This book helps to point out the strangeness of this illusion and points out possibilities which are seeds of a new reality that will cultivate and grow in the super consciousness, which will reconstruct our reality. Not only does this book take the time to organize a large number of ideas, which all grow together to be the foundation of new possibilities, it also goes beyond by suggesting that there are individuals who have purposely chosen to descend into third dimensional reality to show the ways through the maze of illusion, and give hope that we will see the end of the journey sooner rather than later. I would encourage everyone that reads this book to examine their existence and open their minds to the possibilities of reality, to understand that the only true knowledge we possess is that when compared to what we know nothing, to understand that we must examine all thought we knew all we thought we knew, and accept our ability to find deeper truth and a knowledge that is greater than all we could ever comprehend. This life is an opportunity to escape an illusionary reality, which we have been fooled into constructing and maintaining, that our existence is not all as linear and mundane as we observe through the limits of our five senses, but that it is one of the most rare of occurrences ever known. It is an escape from our current existence through a process of wholly unique evolution into a new reality. Much has occurred since I began my mission for change. More will occur very soon. This book offers much to those who wish to better understand and create the changes that they wish to see occur in this reality. I would like to thank Nancy for writing the things that I could not. Her information is vital, and her insight is crucial to making the process that is occurring through this reality easier to comprehend and accept in our consciousness. She is truly a trailblazer in my estimation and worthy of all the support that we can offer her. Bill Broadbrader, November 2013. Okay, so far, how many different realities do we have, folks? Did anybody count it up? We have this reality. We have this reality again. And we have a new reality. And we're going to reconstruct our reality, and we have a third dimensional reality, and we have an illusionary reality, and a new reality, and this reality. Okay, so we got all kinds of realities going on. Let's see if I can figure out how to keep them straight. Okay, so the preface. Cosmic Reality is a compilation of two other books. The first has been available online free since 2003. Well, except for the time it was down, after someone hacked the major internet server that made it disappear. The second book builds upon the first. As I am self-publishing, this rather unorthodox presentation of knowledge is something I can do. There is no corporate entity controlling my creative process, and as you will come to see, it does not matter if anyone reads this book. What is critical is I went through the process of creating. My life path has led to uncovering secrets. Those secrets include historical, scientific, and metaphysical subjects. The result of this knowledge allowed me to understand subjects ranging from secret societies to the assassination of President Kennedy, from how energy is behind all life, how Jesus Christ accomplished the resurrection, and how the Shroud of Turin proves it. This was compiled in Book 1, The John Kennedy Jesus Christ Connection. That's the one we're going to read, folks. I was also led to understand the rules of cosmic reality. I have played by those rules for decades and will attest to their powers. Those rules are also discussed in Book 1 and can lead you to become empowered. Book 2 is called Down the Rabbit Hole. It takes you on my journey into the bizarre reality we find ourselves. In it, we will look at 9/11, the Fed, chemtrails, HAARP, Energy for Healing, Extraterrestrials, Ancient Aliens, Timelines, and more. There are so many who have made this journey possible. I have followed in the steps of other researchers who risked everything promoting truth. I have found courage from whistleblowers and those killed working to bring new sources of energy and technological advancements that help everyone but endanger the powers in control. And I owe those who believe in my vision of reality and encouraged me to write. Thank you all. I am a researcher in reality. This is an insane and magical ride. This is my life, but it is also yours. N. L. Hopkins, September 30th, 2013. I'm not going to read the table of contents. If you want to read that, you can read that. Okay, so we're going to jump into it now. This is number one, Cosmic Reality Rules 1 through 4. Okay, here we go. One day my sister made the comment, "That's just another example of cosmic reality." Lori did not have an explanation, have to explain the phrase cosmic reality. What I found ironic is my life had been dedicated to the search for some ultimate wisdom, some way of explaining life and our reason for participating, something that could be called cosmic reality. I had looked at it all, from the economic political structure of the world to the probability of Earth being visited by extraterrestrials, from ancient history to quantum physics, from Hitler's Nazis to nuclear power, from megalithic man to crystals and healing with energy. Cosmic reality was the perfect name for what I had discovered. This presentation is intended to bring the reader to a working knowledge of cosmic reality. Such knowledge will provide the individual access to personal power. By becoming empowered, you will finally understand total freedom. Those who have been ruling the world for millenniums accessed cosmic reality, took the power, and have ruled reality as we have perceived it upon Earth. These self-proclaimed rulers of reality can be thought of as the Black Nobles, and they are your enemy. Black Nobles. Black Nobles are your enemy because they have willingly conspired to keep mankind ignorant. In its ignorance, that is the ultimate enemy. It is ignorance that is the ultimate enemy. The Black Nobles are simply its agents. The irony is the Black Nobles believe they are acting in our best interest. They do not view themselves as evil incarnate. They are corporate executives, financial wizards, world leaders, scientists of all varieties, religious entities, and others. They have names you would recognize and some you will never hear. My introduction into the reality of Black Nobles came 50 years ago when they shattered the foundation of my childhood mind with the assassination of President Kennedy. '60s generation. The murdering of Kennedy, someone assassinated the ideals of an American generation which continued to judge the American dream in terms of American reality. It was my generation that questioned the Vietnam War right into oblivion, that began to use drugs to alter consciousness, that searched other cultures in quest of Messiah, a yogi, teacher, that popularized concepts of social justice. As a product of my generation, I had an ingrained suspicion America was not what it seemed. In great part, that paranoia was a direct consequence of Kennedy's death and the lies generated concerning who had murdered him and why assassination had been required. An unanticipated consequence of the assassination was the impact it had on a generation of minds conditioned by the schools, family, and churches to believe in certain accepted concepts. In one tragic moment, all that learning began crumbling like a house of cards. In witnessing the stopping of the world for those 3 days in November 1963, to have felt the confusion and fear, to have seen the sudden changes of the entire look of the nation, my generation moved away from a belief in the stability of life and were more apt to believe the only thing permanent in the universe was change. This subtle paranoia carried with me since November 1963, allowing my question of everything and anything. Nothing was sacred. When the high school English teacher proposed a debate and a classmate proposed the subject be flying saucers, I volunteered to take the position that UFOs actually existed. At the time of my volunteering, I had never even considered the possibility spacecraft from another planet could be watching Earth. After researching available data, I had no doubt someone was up there watching. When an acquaintance told me about living in a haunted house, I began studying ghosts, which led to the whole field of occult science. Occult simply means hidden. Today, the same subjects are categorized as New Age, metaphysics, psychic research, and quantum physics. 25 years ago, the scientific community was not even acknowledging the possible truths behind any of the occult sciences. Yet, had any of those scientific minds studied the evidence, they, like myself, would have to acknowledge the wealth of data supporting many claims made concerning the existence of spirit, the power of the mind over the body, telepathy, reincarnation, etc., etc. Today, many of the areas of science are studying energy as it affects human health. There also exists a science called psionics, which deals with energy manipulation, allowing time travel as well as development of unbelievable weapons. I have discovered many secrets since the day Kennedy died. I even joined the U.S. Army and managed to get the highest echelons of the United States intelligent community. I have known whom my enemy is for a long time. Most of this very book was finished in 1988. Yet while I could identify the enemy, I had no weapon with which to defeat them. Even knowing that ignorance was the Black Noble's ultimate weapon, and knowledge, the required counterweapon was not enough. I still did not know what all-encompassing weapon of knowledge entailed. It took 5 years before I understood cosmic reality and the power it offered to defeat the enemy. The following discussion of cosmic reality will provide you the knowledge needed to control your own destiny and that of the world. You will learn the truth about history and science. You will change. Change will set you apart from your friends and family and others not aware of cosmic reality. You may feel alone and overwhelmed as you discover the truth about all you have been taught to believe. But remember, you are never alone. A physicist once revealed a secret to me. He said, quote, "Sometimes something is not supposed to happen, and it does. To explain the situation, we go to the X factor," unquote. "What is the X factor?" I asked. "Well, in the final analysis, it is God. When we can find no other explanation, we end up turning to God." For many of us, science has been the God of the 20th century. In the end, it was science that proved not only the existence of God, but the existence of the human soul. This is not science fiction or religious quackery. I have spent a lifetime uncovering secrets concerning President Kennedy's assassination, Nazi Germany, psychic power, extraterrestrial influence, secret societies, even the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. But the most simultaneously horrifying and inspiring secrets are those of science. By the end of this book, you should have ample scientific and historic proof that you are a manifestation of your soul, that your soul is a manifestation of something divine, that you have a moral obligation to access the knowledge and power of your soul and its divine counterpart, and most of all, that you are not alone. Cosmic reality, rule number one. My brother Mark was teaching his 6-year-old daughter Amanda the sport of fishing. Is fishing really a sport? I guess some people think it's a sport. Okay. Mark managed to bait the hook and cast it out into the lake. Much to his disappointment, the bait went one way and the hook the other. Much to his relief, Amanda did not see the bait detached from the hook. Mark thought, well, we never catch anything anyway, and she will never know the difference. Mark said nothing to enlighten his daughter to the reality of a baitless hook. A short time later, excited shouts from Amanda caused Mark to chuckle. Amanda was claiming to have caught a fish. All the way down to the shore, Mark chuckled, knowing Amanda must have caught herself a bouquet of seaweed. But upon joining his proud daughter, Mark was startled to find a fish dangling at the end of Amanda's line. In Mark's reality, fish do not bite empty hooks. But in Amanda's reality, the fish was going to bite the bait she believed was on her hook. Apparently, the fish bought into Amanda's reality and not Mark's. One could argue the fish saw something shining and took a chance. I contend this is an example of the first rule of cosmic reality. Reality is what we think it is. Oh, sure. You have heard this before, maybe in connection with positive thinking, but did you know Einstein 1905 theory led to scientific basis for reality is what we think it is? Sir Isaac Newton formulated a 1600s world view where God dictated creation would be based upon certain rules identified by Newton. While experiment and observation supported this Newtonian physics, certain phenomena could not be explained by this list of God's rules. In 1905, Einstein was attempting to explain certain of these seemingly unexplainable phenomena. It is unlikely he intended to bring down Newton's Newtonian physics and God himself in the process. Einstein provided a way of proving existence of the atom, which was at the time suspected but not yet experimentally identified. Einstein explained the perplexing photoelectric phenomena by hypothesizing existence of the photon as being a particle manifesting as a wave of light. Then he claimed gravity was a result of the geometry of space, an illusion created as light is bent while passing near a large mass. And finally, the equation of E equals mc squared, simply stating that there is no matter. Matter is the consequence of energy in relationship to itself. And as human experimental probing adds energy into any situation, any time a scientist interacts with his environment, that environment changes. There was nothing stable or permanent. Reality was the result of random interaction of energy. The best God could do was give quantum physics a method to determine the probability something would happen. God was a dice player and odds maker. Einstein rejected this rendering of his initial theories, believing God did not play dice. Einstein believed there was an unidentified power at the very foundation of reality, which would easily explain the existence of electric, magnetic, gravitational, and nuclear energy fields. During the ensuing years, just such a unifying field has been identified by quantum scientists of the 1980s. But Einstein did not wait 45 years for proof that God existed. In 1943, he and others took a shortcut. During a U.S. Navy experiment, a ship and its crew were accidentally shifted into another time. Among other things, the experiment proved human beings are comprised of electromagnetic fields that can exist apart from the physical body. They had established the existence of the human soul. The Philadelphia experiment, as it had become known, also demonstrated existence of multiple timelines. Any given future is only a possible future. The future depends upon what happens in any given present. What will happen tomorrow depends on what happens today. Today's reality will influence tomorrow's reality. What we think is what we will get. Reality is what we think it is. Rule number one, cosmic reality. Okay. I need a drink. Cosmic reality number two. Back to Mark and his fishing lesson. Amanda thought she would catch a fish, and so did the fish. Amanda and the fish shared the same reality, which was much different from Mark's. Two against one, and Mark's reality did not exist. This brings us to the second rule of cosmic reality. It is necessary to have a prevailing opinion of what reality should be to have an order to life. In other words, the majority rules. Amanda and the fish outvoted Mark, and their reality prevailed over this. Cosmic reality rule number three. The third rule of cosmic reality is that those who are in positions of power will keep everyone else from knowing the first two rules of cosmic reality. This certainly makes sense. If you control a given reality, you do not want that reality messed with, do you? Cosmic reality. Cosmic reality is the reality of those who have been controlling the reality of everyone else. Certain men have kept secrets from us to keep us ignorant of the powers each and every one has at our command. By keeping the secrets of personal power from the masses, these self-proclaimed rulers have maintained their economic, political, cultural, and social control over the world. They have also inflicted upon the planet a present and projected future that are frighteningly in the very least, There is, however, the promise that if enough people come to realize cosmic reality, the future will be spectacular. Understanding cosmic reality has allowed those in power to retain their control. It has also resulted in scientific ventures into time travel, mind control, alchemy, manifestation, and much more. By Jesus Christ's acceptance of cosmic reality, the feat of resurrection was possible. Secret organizations throughout the world teach cosmic reality to chosen individuals. To reach the pinnacles of world power, you must belong to one or more of these secret societies. Our view of who and what we are as individuals and nations have depended upon what we have been told in our economic, cultural, social, political, and technological histories. By maintaining a fictional history of this planet, secret societies have prevented us from evolving into an understanding of cosmic reality and to benefit from that knowledge. One's approach to the present and future depends upon one's perception of a given reality, which ultimately hinges upon the past. Past, present, and future all hang together. Change your perspective on any one, and the other must shift. This book will take the reader down a path that will change perceptions of reality. It is a path encompassing 2,000 years leading to secrets jealously guarded by history's most powerful men and organizations. Through search and luck, I have uncovered some of the secret history of this planet. By revealing true background of our reality, reality will shift. As more and more people begin to understand cosmic reality, individuals will begin exercising their own individual powers. It really is simply a matter of getting the word out. Sometimes control over reality is as simple as telling your daughter the bait fell off the hook. Sometimes changing reality takes technological assistance, as in the case of the fall of the communist reality. Fax machine. By dominating the means of spreading information, the communist leadership enhanced control over the masses. Not only were television and printed media run by the governments, devices that could print or copy were strictly managed and regulated. Typewriters, copy machines, and printers were all in the hands of the leaders. However, and for whatever reason, when fax technology allowed printed material to be sent over telephone lines and copied onto the other end, communist leaders did not react to the danger. Fax equipment became the primary manner of spreading word of the new belief. This new belief resulted in the end of one communist nation after another, until it was all over within 3 months. The 90% of the communist world had realized they were being dominated by only 10% actually supporting the communist theory. It was, of course, the second rule of cosmic reality in action. For it, which was the second rule? Second rule was, that's the believing in cosmic rule. Second rule, back to rules. Necessary to have a prevailing opinion of what reality should be. In other words, the majority rules. Okay, where was I? Okay, it was the second rule of cosmic reality in action. For it is not just the number of people thinking a certain thing that creates thoughts into reality. It is the power of thought, and one extraordinary thinker can outweigh millions of humans who give little thought to anything, or the idea that communism was just not working, and it was within the power of the people to make a change. Powerful concepts can change reality. The change depends upon getting the word out. So then, what was rule number three? What did I just read? Fax machine. Rule number three is that those who are in the positions of power will keep everyone else from knowing the first two rules. Okay. And that was proof of it. Okay. I hope y'all are with me. So rule number one is reality is what we think it is. So rule number one, reality is what we think it is. Rule number two is the majority rules. So rule number one is reality is what we think it is. Rule number two is that what the majority think is what is reality. And rule number three is that the people who are in power and already have built what the reality is want to stay in power. And rule number four is this. Powerful people keep masses ignorant in order to control reality. Histories are rewritten and scientific facts are kept as secrets to prevent individuals from understanding their own personal powers and threatening accepted reality. If each person understood the power of their own thoughts, reality would take on a whole new meaning. Rule four of cosmic reality is success lies in the being, not in the doing. Success lies in the being, not in the doing. Okay, let's see what this says. To change reality, all any of us have to do is to change our own individual way of thinking. While you may not have to go marching or protesting or outwardly involving yourself in reality changing, altering your way of thinking is not the easiest thing to accomplish. Well, really. One approach is to think of reality as a drawing. If you change the background, the foreground is affected. By understanding the true historical past, your perception of the present will be altered. In viewing the present in a new light, you will see your own role differently. You will have changed the way you think. But this book will provide more than just historical truth for you to use. The rules of cosmic reality are based upon scientific fact. While it is not necessary to fully understand the science, by having access to the secrets of science, your belief in cosmic reality will be strengthened. It is hoped the information presented in this book will aid the reader in gaining a more accurate perspective on history and science to make the process of relearning less painful. Much of the information is autobiographical. By explaining how I came to uncover such hidden secrets and how this new information impacted my life, your discovery of hidden history and science may be less upsetting than if the nightly news suddenly jarred you with stories concerning time travel, space visitors, psychic weapons, secret societies ruling the world, or even the truth about the assassination of JFK. That's the end of chapter one. Let's see how far in we are. 40 minutes. I still have 20 minutes to go. Okay. The Kennedy Connection. Let's start chapter two. After a drink. Okay. When the town's elementary school burned down, double sessions at the other schools resulted in shorter school days in November 1963. I was home, changed, and already at my neighbor's, a few houses down the street. It was just after 2:15 p.m. Eastern Standard. The radio was on in the kitchen, which I had walked through after entering by the back door. I was through the dining room and in the living room when I felt I was walking through some kind of barrier. I stopped, puzzled, asking aloud, "What happened?" My attention was drawn to the voice from the radio. "It is confirmed. President Kennedy is dead of gunshot wounds. He was shot down while riding in a motorcade in Dallas, Texas. We repeat, President John F. Kennedy has died of a gunshot wound." What are they saying? My mind was stumbling to make sense of whatever was happening. I felt lightheaded, as if my reality had somehow shifted. Nothing seemed right, and Kennedy was dead. The man whom I campaigned for, the man who represented every dream I had been taught to honor, the very embodiment of everything I had been taught to admire and desire, the war hero, the religious man, the good father and husband, the wealthy and charismatic president of the United States, was dead. Someone had shot him. Someone had shot and killed the president. My friend came down the stair and asked, "What's wrong?" "They killed Kennedy. He's dead," was all I said before retracing my steps through the dining room, past the radio, in the kitchen, out the back door, across the vacant lot, behind the houses, and back home. Mom was in the kitchen when I walked in, and she said, "I thought you went to see Lois." Again, I relayed the news. "President Kennedy is dead. Someone shot him." I did not stay to watch the shock overtake my mom. She followed me to the television. That day, reality changed in one dramatic moment after another. As one after another, the people of the nation and the world confronted the assassination. Each of us had our own realities shattered so dramatically. All remembered where we were and what we were doing the day Kennedy died. Some of us wanted to get it all behind us and choose to accept the conclusion Lee Harvey Oswald single-handedly killed Kennedy. Oswald happened to be some sort of egocentric loser who just happened to be working in a building providing the best vantage point for assassinating Kennedy in the Dallas, Texas motorcade. Some of us chose this official view of history. Others of us believed this view too simplistic and left all too much to chance. There was more to the story. Even others were sure the rest of the story was being actively covered up. A few became obsessed with uncovering the full truth behind the assassination. For me, the assassination was something less of an obsession and something more of a hobby. I immediately began compiling data concerning the murder. By the time I was a sophomore at the University of Massachusetts, my file on the Kennedy killing and ensuing cover-up was an inch and a half thick. Much of the data was comprised of notations as to what subject was covered in which newspaper, magazine, or book. Warren Commission Report. During that sophomore year, a critic of the Oswald Alone theory came to speak at the university. The setting was informal and casual in a small dormitory lounge. The man, who I will call James White, believed the official version of Kennedy's death was wrong. The Warren Commission, which had been given the task of investigating the assassination, concluded Lee Harvey Oswald fired three shots from a single shot Carcano rifle at the presidential motorcade. There's pictures in the book too, guys, so if you want the pictures, you're going to have to get the book. One bullet passed through the president's coat and shirt, 5 3/4 inches below the collar, exiting through the throat just below the Adam's apple. The apparent major differences in the clothing holes and bullet's trajectory through the throat was explained as the clothing riding up as the president waved to the crowd. You should see the pictures, guys. It shows like a drawing of where the trajectory would have gone. Okay. This single bullet went on to enter Texas Governor Connally under his right armpit. Oh, I see. The picture's not just one person. So it shows Kennedy. Yeah, I guess I should read what's going on in the picture. Okay, so the bullet exited Connally's chest below his right nipple and re-entered his body, shattering his wrist before exiting again. I see that. The bullet's final wound was in the governor's right thigh. A second bullet missed. The third entered the president's brain. There were no conspirators. Oswald planned and executed the killing alone. That's what this white guy thought, right? So that's what James White believed with the Warren Commission report. Under the Warren Commission report. Okay. Stolen files. Critic James White was discussing the numerous problems with the Warren Commission verdict. When I asked what he thought about the third wound on Kennedy's body, White did not know what I was talking about. I produced my file and quickly located a notation concerning a newspaper account relating statements from two FBI agents present at the official autopsy. FBI agents Seibert and O'Neill stated that, in addition to the neck and head wounds, a third apparent bullet was located in Kennedy's upper back. The FBI agents also claimed the autopsy surgeon, Dr. James Humes, thought the wound was an entrance wound and could not figure where the bullet had gone. Humes probed the wound, which was not very deep, thus more of a puncture. White was confused for a major reason. Nowhere in the Warren Commission report were the FBI agents mentioned as attending the autopsy, and their official report had not been available to the Warren Commission. White's first exposure to this FBI connection was my notation concerning the newspaper account. He copied down the information. Within days, I realized my Kennedy file was missing. In my naivety, I thought it had been misplaced. 10 years later, I discovered James White had died in a barroom brawl 2 weeks after our encounter. I believe the protectors of the assassination secrets killed White and stole my file, assuming a college sophomore would give up the search rather quickly. Sorry, I need another drink. These unknown protectors had stopped White and myself from pursuing the truth. They did not stop David S. Lifton, years later, when he uncovered the key to the assassination puzzle and the third undiscussed wound. As soon as I saw the book, Best Evidence on the Bookshelf Store, Best Evidence on the Bookstore Shelf, I had to have it. I am glad I did not wait to purchase this extraordinary book. The copy I have is the only one I have ever seen anywhere. This 700-page, heavily documented book will be summarized to just the basics. My apologies to Mr. Lifton for... Someone had a motive for killing the President of the United States. It looks like I'm skipping a thing, but I'm not. My apologies to Mr. Lifton for what? Oh, I see. For the intense simplification of his work. Okay. And there's another picture. It's a photograph that looks like it was probably in David Lifton's book. Photograph is of Oswald talking to press on Friday, the night of the assassination. Oswald claimed he was innocent. Someone had a motive for killing the President of the United States, compelling enough to plan an assassination. Obviously, the planners realized the resulting murder investigation would be scrutinized as never before. Likelihood of a clue turning up would be diminished. If authorities were able to apprehend an assassination... I'm sorry. Likelihood of a clue turning up would be diminished if authorities were able to apprehend an assassin as soon as possible. The longer the investigation went on, the more danger it presented for the assassination planners. It would be advantageous to have someone around to take the blame, like Lee Oswald, the Patsy. If you wished to have someone specifically blamed for the killing, you would want him captured as soon as possible. It appears the assassination planners provided authorities with data immediately implicating Oswald. The bullets hit the president at 12:30 p.m. Central CTZ, I'm assuming that's Central Time Zone. By 12:38, police radio transmissions to the dispatcher pinpointed the sixth-floor sniper nest at the Texas Book Depository. So they knew where he was 8 minutes after the president was shot. Yeah. This information came from police radio calls by officers at the scene, claiming the information was from an unidentified witness. Within 15 minutes of the assassination, the dispatcher was giving the height, age, and weight of Lee Oswald. This was provided by another Dallas sheriff on the scene, who also received his information from an unidentified source. Yet, when the dispatcher rebroadcast the information, the words slender build had been added to Oswald's physical description. The question asked by David Lifton was, how did the dispatcher know the suspect had a slender build? Lifton also noted that while each policeman was ordered by the dispatcher to get all relevant information regarding informant identities, none of the officers did. In each case, valuable witnesses never came forward and have remained unidentified. sniper nest problem. At the time of Kennedy's trip to Dallas, Oswald was working at the Texas School Book Depository, where a sniper's nest was found. Discovered there was a rifle allegedly traced back to a mail-ordered request signed by Oswald using an alias. Oswald's palm print was detected on the rifle along with fibers from his shirt. The two recovered bullet fragments and an intact bullet were ballistically determined to have been fired from the Carcano rifle. The only other piece of evidence required to provide an ironclad case against Lee Oswald was President Kennedy's body. To convict Oswald, Kennedy would have to be shot by a bullet entering from the rear. This problem of showing a rear shot created a problem from the beginning. And there's another picture. Let's see. There's the Texas Book Depository, the sixth floor. The sniper's nest was on the sixth floor. Daly Plaza, Elm Street. So where's the... What's the grassy knoll? Okay. Registry. Okay. Yeah, get the book if you guys want to see these pictures, or I'm sure the pictures are out somewhere else. The above graphic shows the motorcade route. The presidential limousine made a drastic 90-degree turn onto Houston Street and proceeded directly towards... The presidential limousine made a drastic 90-degree turn onto Houston Street and proceeded directly towards the Texas Book Depository. As the motorcade approached Elm Street and an even more drastic turn, the cars slowed down to a crawl. The best shot would have been at that point on Houston Street, just before the turn down Elm Street. By the time the first rear shot was available, the limousine was on Elm Street and moving away. The fatal shot was the third bullet fired. Both of the following photos were taken from the sixth floor window where the sniper's nest was found. Okay. If Oswald was stationed in the sixth floor sniper's nest, the best shot would be a frontal shot as the limousine came down Houston Street. A shot down Elm Street would present a much greater chance of failure. But what if Oswald was not the shooter and was being set up to take the fall? Oswald was at the Texas Book Depository. He was seen by multiple witnesses as being in the building at the time of the shooting, although not near the sixth floor. The real assassins would make the evidence look like the shots had come from the Texas Book Depository. Lifton's body of evidence. For whatever reasons, the best shot at Kennedy by the actual assassin or assassins, wherever they were really stationed, was on Elm Street. David Lifton and scores of researchers have demonstrated compelling evidence. The president was killed by shots coming from the front of the limousine, not from the rear and Texas Depository. When a bullet enters a human body, the entrance wound corresponds to the dimension of the bullet. In exiting the body, the bullet blows open the wound many times larger than the entrance. Thus, the size of a given wound can indicate entrance and exit paths. Supposing someone wished to frame Oswald, Kennedy's body had to show a rear entrance wound with the exit hole in the frontal portion of the body. To set Oswald up, it was imperative no bullets or wounds be discovered from any direction other than the sixth floor sniper nest where Oswald's Carcano rifle was planted and the sniper nest staged. The real assassins had to fire from positions in front of Kennedy using exploding ammunition referred to as dum-dum bullets. This type of ammunition creates a small entrance wound and breaks up before traversing the body. There is seldom an exit wound. If David Lifton's scenario one in David Lifton scenario, one or more assassins fired from the front of the presidential limousine aiming at Kennedy, while someone else fired from the rear of the motorcade at Governor Connally using the Carcano rifle. Bullets previously fired from the rifle were planted at the scene, with one in good enough condition to leave no doubt in the minds of ballistics experts as to what weapon fired it. As bizarre as it seems, to create the required illusion, the assassination planners had to gain control over Kennedy's body, to surgically alter the evidence, the physical evidence. Entrance holes in the front of the body would be enlarged to mimic exit wounds. Remains of any spent bullets inside the body would be extracted through these enlarged openings, small holes opposite the surgical altered wounds would be added to correspond to entrance wounds. To a surgeon ignorant of the forensic medicine, an illusion of a bullet's trajectory through the body would then exist. The man who conducted the Kennedy autopsy, Dr. James Humes, was not qualified in forensic pathology and had never conducted an autopsy on a gunshot case, nor any of the other autopsy pathologists present. Fabulous. Zapruder timing problem. Oh, Zapruder is a camera. Yet no matter how well conceived the plans of all men too often prey no. Yet no matter how well conceived the plans of men all too often fall prey to the unexpected. Abraham Zapruder's film was one such event. No one planning the murder could have foretold Zapruder would capture the entire assassination on film. Theoretically, with no perceived reason to limit the number of bullets fired, shooting Connally from the rear would have strengthened the case against Oswald. With the Zapruder's film's chronicle of the exact timing between Kennedy being shot through the neck and the fatal headshot, the wounding of Connally confused the situations. The Zapruder film's introduction of timing, the Zapruder's film introduction of time limiting the number of bullets was only one unplanned element. Two more difficult problems dealt with the actual impact points on the president's body, namely the throat and the head. And I'm just over an hour. Okay, we're going to stop here. The next session is called Dallas Doctors. Okay, that's all we have for today. Thank you for joining me. I'm sorry when I stumble through and when I look back to try and see if I can make sense of stuff. But hopefully you enjoyed it. Anyway, I'm signing off for today. Thank you and have a great day. Bye.
You have been listening to Sassy Reads for You with Annette Bobko, a production of Cosmic Reality Radio. Radio player and archives can be found at cosmicreality.com.